Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Irby?
Here.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
Mayor Johnson?
Here.
There's a quorum.
All right. Councilmember Hansen, would you please come forward?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our next item is audience participation. If anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes if you are representing a group, audience participation is now open. Please sign in, state your name for the record, and turn on the microphone.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. The public process done appropriately, the decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. As you're aware, I've been following the hiring process of how you're conducting the hiring of a new city manager. Also, how Wasilla has conducted their hiring process as city clerk. I compliment this body and the hiring process you have done compared to the city of Wasilla. I witnessed 3 executive sessions regarding the hiring process of city clerk, and which were inappropriate and illegal. But again, I compliment this body and your hiring process. You're more in compliance, and thank you very much.
Anyone else that would like to come forward to address the council? All right, seeing no additional come forward, audience participation is now closed. And while I appreciate the compliments, and we always like to be in competition with Wasilla in football, I have no idea what Wasilla ends up doing. I'm sure they do it the best that they know how to do. So, moving on, we have City Council interviews process discussion. And so at this point, we have the a time to discuss the questions that we'll be asking our applicant. And I'm going to ask you to... Thank you, Alice. I'll go ahead and wait until Alice returns and so she can give us an overview of a couple things.
And I will display them.
What's that?
I will display the questions so that
we're
going to change something or do something.
As all of you know, we're down to one applicant, so obviously that's unfortunate. But whether it's because we had such a long time between, or you know, between our applications or whatever, but this is what we're working with tonight. In some ways, it kind of gives us some. Gives us opportunity to be a little more, a little less structured, I guess.
So question 2 is irrelevant.
What's that?
Question 2 becomes irrelevant.
Compared to other candidates.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, question 1 was
actually... Well, actually, what are they, I guess they're work, the other candidates, while he's, while he's here. All right. Okay. All right. I guess what I was waiting for is I thought I would ask. So it brings us to the City Council interview process discussion, which I would say is a committee of the whole.
If you'd like,
sir. Or however we want to do it, I guess it can be anyway. But we're kind of anticipating this, and how Alice had. She's got a little bit of it described, but first of all, I was going to ask Alice to come forward and explain the process up till now, to now, her interactions with the candidate, just and give an overview of what you've done so far and how you anticipate, you know, asking the questions and so on. And then we can go over our actual interview questions. And we should probably, then if we want to discuss the written questions, we can do that now, or we can do that after our, during the time we, after our executive session. When we're done, we're just actually talking about the whole process. So go ahead, Alice, if you would just kind of lead us off here.
Okay, because we only have one candidate, the process is always that you have to ask all of the candidates the same exact question. And with only having one candidate, when you ask the question, if the candidate says that they worked on this particular project and it took them a year to do it or whatever, you can do follow-up questions with this one, because you don't have to worry about asking the other candidates the same questions. So this one, you'd be able to be more in-depth in your questions. So if you select questions and you want to get more detail from them, or you don't understand exactly what their participation was, or you don't understand the terminology or how that would play over from the military life into the city's life or something, you can specifically ask them that. The only thing with going with the free range is that you want to make sure that you remember not to ask about marital status, about children, about races, disabilities, any of those types of things that are illegal. But as far as asking more questions about how they did it or why they did it a certain way or how they would do it for the city, you can do that. Mr. Wallace did show up this morning at 9 a.m., which was a surprise to me because I didn't have him on my calendar to show up. So I introduced him to the city clerk. She talked to him for a few minutes. I took him in and introduced him to Esther Green, the finance director. So he talked to them for a little while. And then at that time, the acting city manager was here, so I took him in to meet with the acting city manager, the public works director, so he got to meet with them. He had an 11:30 appointment, so he left. And when he came back this afternoon, I took him over to meet with the chief of police, and then I took him over to the airport to meet with the airport attendant. I did take him over to see community development to meet with Sandra Garley, but she was off today. And I was gonna have him meet Chief McNutt, but he wasn't there. He was out on a call or something. However, he did talk to David Meneses about the fire department, and we did go in the building and look at it. I did give him time to talk to the directors or the chief individually, one-on-one, without listening, except for when I was at the airport, because the office is so small, so I actually had to be in that area. But from what I've heard from the different people and from what I witnessed when I talked to the airport person is that the questions that he are asking are very pertinent to the positions. When he was in the airport talking to the airport manager, he was asking them about, evidently the city of Fairbanks was trying to become the main airports or whatever. So he was asking about that. He was asking about the FAA thing. He was asking them what category we was. So he was asking them a lot of questions. So he was either knowledgeable or he had done his homework on this. And when I met him with David Meneses and he was looking at the fire things, he was asking him a lot of questions about the fire things and questions like that. So he is coming across as someone that has either done his homework or is knowledgeable and stuff. And so far he's been personable to everybody that we've met. He went to the dispatch and he met all the dispatch people there. So I've introduced him to the staff that we've ran into. There's been a couple of council members in the building and they didn't meet him while he was here. So any questions?
All right, so what we'll do then is, I guess we'll just go over these, the questions here, and the way I anticipate it, we'll go through these, and if there's some we can drop out, like number two, or if there's anything we want, anyone wants to add, we can take a couple minutes and look at this. Alice will go ahead and ask the questions, I guess, and then if people have a follow-up, they can just, they'll just indicate it, and we'll follow up.
Madam Mayor, I was thinking also that I would keep this work document Word document up and modify it as we go along, get to the final version and then reprint, and of course give Ms. Williams a copy and everyone a copy, mm-hmm. so you can have it before you. So as you move along, I'll be modifying this. So I'm going to go ahead and take number two off. I assume everyone is good with that. So when you're calling out a question, if you would state the one that is on the hard copy, that way I can follow along to modify it up here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Green. I mean, Williams.
Thank you. Because we only have one candidate, this also gives you an opportunity if there was something in his application or something in the reference that you specifically wanted to address or that you had questions on, this is a time that you could ask that question because we only have that one. So if you look at his references or the summary that they had and you want to address something like that on them, then you could add that to these questions at this time too.
Your Honor. Your Honor.
Yes, Councilor DeVries.
Thank you. I don't think question 12 is pertinent. What do the rest of you think? Since he hasn't.
Well, I think that it obviously he's not.
He doesn't have municipal experience, so.
Maybe, do we have anything in about grant writing or funding at all?
Well,
other than.
Yeah, now it's 11. I'm sorry. Do you want to So is number 12, which on your screen is number 11, coming off?
Oops.
Number 12, yeah, I think we could take
Can we just leave the numbers the same so we're not confusing the issues?
It's an automatic numbering system. I can't.
Huh?
It's an automatic numbering system. I can't.
No. We're about to change.
It'll just,
Okay.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Well, you could just highlight those to be deleted.
We're
going to
get a new printout before the.
Yeah.
I can start. Hear you.
Okay, Your Honor?
Yes.
I have my questions that I would like to see asked, so I'll just yell mine so that
please
I can get an equation. Okay. 1, 7, 9, 10, 12, 14, 15. 1. 7, 9, 10, 12, 14, 15.
Are the ones you do not?
12, 14, 15.
Okay, so I'm going to leave 12 for now then.
14 and 15.
Those were the original numbers, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
Right.
They were able to help me out to keep the numbers the same. So when we're looking at the numbers are the same.
We asked all these questions last time, right?
No, Mayor, I added some new questions to them and reworded some of them.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think we've got lots of time. I mean, we have extra time tonight since we have no additional candidates. So, I mean, I don't think we have to be in a big hurry to slim down the questions unless...
Well, I just...
Or we want to add to... Or to critical.
...to this discussion. So those are...
I think it would be reasonable to ask something about coming out of I guess he's in private sector now, but coming out of a military environment and transitioning to a municipal government, how he sees that transition or something along those lines, or how that could be. I'm trying to think how that would be worded, but. I mean, I'd like to just add how does he see military transitioning from military to to municipal management, if you think there'll be any challenges because of that.
Yeah, that's kind of why I chose 7 and 9, because that will give us an understanding of what you see as the role and responsibility of municipal government, the relationship with citizens, and also the hierarchy of
Anything else anyone wants to add, subtract, or shall we just get to it?
Are we still sticking with the original numbers because that's what Mr. Hansen did?
Yeah, we're just talking about them with...
Well, I see the value in what you're talking about. I also felt that that was answered fairly well, actually, by the question, you know, where it's, why are you interested in this position? When he talks about the majority of his career being, you know, in public service with a portion of my time in the corporate sector, you know, he's, I think, if you reread that, you may find that he's addressed some of that transition, some of the way he sees it working because of how he's done in the past. One of the things that I thought was kind of important is question number 13. I think it's germane to the situations that we've faced a few times in the last couple of years. And I didn't know if anybody else felt that way, but
Well, I agree on that. I remember the last couple people, one of the persons, I mean, they really floundered on that one. It was kind of telling, I forget who it was and how it was stated, but their answer to number 13 was, I mean, I know it separated out somebody for me, and I don't remember who it was. Mr. Irby.
No, I agree with 13. I'm curious to see the answer. Also with number 11, because there's an obvious answer for that, and if they did do their homework, we'd get that answer. So, I'm partial to 11 and 13, and the rest that Brad came up with. I think the other ones were kind of softball.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's kind of nice because we can now use this as our template to jump. I mean, our starting point, and. To go from, you know, since we can ask questions from this. Anything, I mean, if there's no objection and nothing to, if we will just ask all the questions are here except for number 12 and number 2.
12 stayed on. Number 2 is the only one that left.
Left, okay. And then, and anything else to add? Well, if we want to add, we can add as we go along.
Madam Mayor?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do then, if you'll just give me a moment, I reformatted giving you guys space for taking notes on this, and I'm going to send it to the printer. It should only take a moment, but just in case we have a malfunction, and I'll have it for you momentarily, hopefully. Okay. I'm going to send it to the big one. Okay, it went. It'll take a minute.
Well, they were
If somebody can raise it, we'll raise their hand. I'll just acknowledge them.
So they'll just raise a hand if they have a follow-up question?
Okay. I'll raise your hand, and if I'll acknowledge them, and they will ask a question, and then someone else might have another question, and we'll see just how it goes.
Okay.
Yes, please. Thank you.
We had a lot of many questions, actually.
Two, number two. I thought we were eliminating 12, but apparently we didn't eliminate number 12.
Yeah, you guys can even do it.
Maybe it's a...
Mr. Haley. Alice, do you want to, Ashley, do you just want, you, do you want to just stand there, or we can have you sit at the table, whichever's most convenient?
Well, that way she's on the mic.
Yeah, you got a mic there.
That's what I did last time, just kept listening.
All right, I guess we're ready to go.
There's a button.
Welcome.
Okay, Mr. Wallace, we are here tonight to do interviews for the city manager position. We'll be asking you a series of questions. If for some reason you do not hear me or you do not understand me, please ask me to repeat it or rephrase it so that you answer and understand all of the questions. If the city council has any follow-up questions or whatever, then they'll take that time to ask you the questions. This one's a little bit louder. And the council members will be taking notes, so if you see the tops of the heads, they're not ignoring you. They're going to be taking notes and things. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Too loud.
Welcome. Thank you for your interest in the city manager position. What have you learned about the city of Palmer that makes you want to be our next city manager?
First off, I lived in the Palmer greater area for about 9 years up until about 18 months ago. So wanting to come back to the city has always been a goal for us, my family and I, once I retired. I have a very good job at Kellogg's right now. I'm not dissatisfied there, but it's in Jackson, Tennessee. And given the opportunity to come back to Palmer, was something I couldn't pass up. So I applied for the position. Piece of that is it's the only position I've currently in the running for and the only position I've applied for lately just because it's in Palmer. So I don't see myself looking for another job elsewhere in the city. This one I thought met my needs for challenge, an opportunity to use my experience with leadership, administration, and to help move the city forward if that's what the council is looking for.
All right, please describe your management style in supervising department directors and delegating responsibilities to them.
My leadership style has been hands-off my entire career. Some people may think that's not how the military works. The military these days has changed quite a bit from what you see in TVs in the 70s and 80s. It's more about not so much gaining consensus, but making sure that folks understand the mission. And the way we give orders, the way we direct the goals, it's not you will charge that hill. It's we need to capture that hill for whatever reason, and we're going to do it as a team. If you need to make a decision, if the decision needs to be made, then the leader does make the decision based on the authority given or the responsibility given. So my management style has always been along that lines, making sure that the folks that work for me and with me have the skills and resources to do their jobs. And then if they need help, to provide that help, either in making a decision or gaining more resources. So I'm not a micromanager. I try to gain consensus, but if push comes to shove and we have to make a decision, I'm not afraid to make a decision.
Okay, please discuss a situation in which you and a department director had a different opinion and how to approach an issue and how you handled it.
Current, I'm a director. Okay, I was thinking of my supervisor. My current supervisor and I are both new to the plant that I work at now. And we also have other managers in the group. We're all about the same experience level in Kellogg's. And it's budget season, so we're developing our internal budgets that go to my supervisor, and then he will approve or disapprove what we've presented, and then we either go forward to the next level of management. So I don't have, and this probably isn't a good example the more I think about it, but so there's three managers, and we're all competing for resources, but we're all on the same team. My organization is responsible for the utilities, making sure the plant runs. Their organizations are making sure that the operation piece, the fryer for Pringles chips, are all operating appropriately. So we're competing for resources. Some of that is our maintenance piece. So we're competing again for resources for mechanics also as well. So I'm trying to build a progressive program where we are doing preventative maintenance, and they're doing a maintenance program where they're trying to fix things that are broken today with no foresight to get ahead of our maintenance program. So what we ended up doing was going to lunch one afternoon and discussing our priorities and coming to grips with the budget situation. And through that discussion, I was able to convey what I thought my position was moving forward was to do preventative maintenance so that they don't have to do as much operational maintenance. And then they also informed me of the pressures they're under to make sure that their fryers and their belts and the chip dough makers all are operating to at least efficiency to make chips. So we came to an agreement that we would make our budgets flat across the board and then work it together as a group to each further our goals as the budget year progresses. So it was arranged to be seen as the maintenance goes forward next year, but at least we came to grips with having a flat budget so our supervisor could go forward without having to ask for money, but then also understanding each other's requirements, and hopefully we'll accomplish those goals next year.
Okay, can you please give us an example of a problem you encountered that you had never faced before? How did you educate yourself and handle the issue?
Now, this is one situation. As you have all probably seen from my resume, I have no city government experience. But I do have a years of administrative and leadership skills. So coming to the position, I reached out to a former military member who's now a city manager in Janesville, Texas, to get some insights on what the position required. I did research on the webpage to see what the turnover, or how I could see why there's so much turnover in the position currently and why it's open again. And then also reading the minutes, the comprehensive plan, and the annexation document that was on the web. Just trying to understand the dynamics of the city, because I did live outside the city and I really didn't pay much attention to what was going on in Palmer as far as government when I lived outside the city. But just doing the research to find out what was required of this position as much as I could without actually talking to the directors of the city council to see what your expectations of the city manager were. So coming into this position and this interview process was definitely something I never encountered before, having gone through interviews elsewhere, but not like this.
Okay, can you please discuss a specific example of an issue or project you have successfully coordinated with another organization similar to an issue presenting involving Palmer and another government entity?
So in Afghanistan, my last deployment to Afghanistan as the deputy commander of the 4th Brigade, 25th Infantry Division, our region incorporated three provinces in Afghanistan. Our staff was a military staff, but we were augmented or partnered with the Department of State. We had a representative from the U.S. aid organization, the USDA, and the FAA was in and out on occasion. So really working with the U.S. aid, the USDA, and the Department of State, probably 75% of our time in our year that we were there was working with developmental projects, or road projects, or building schools. DOD and the military had all the money. There's no question on who had the money, and whoever owns the money generally can make all the decisions. However, my commander's approach was we've been doing this for 4 or 5 years. It's not working. We have the State Department. They have their goals. We have the USDA's, and they have their goals to further agriculture in this country. How can we best move along all our agendas, so to speak? So what he did was he brought each leader of these organizations into our headquarters, into our building, and he formed we call it a board of directors, which is similar to a council. And then he charged me with executing whatever this council came up with. So the one project that we were actually able to complete in our year was to build a jail for the, basically it would have been equivalent to the state troop level organization. We worked with the Corps of Engineers to design it. We worked with the Department of State, who helped provide expertise in the judicial system. We were able to bring in some advisors to advise the Afghans on their judicial system. And then we have our own military police. We're able to work with the local police and help to build their force. So there were goals we had to set along the lines to make sure we all different pieces of this judicial system or this jail were met, not just to build a building with bars on it, but to also house it with a judge, help them develop a jury system, and then the police force and the corrections facility to house it. It was probably a $75 million project. Everything there is inflated, I grant you that, but we still had to manage the funds to the appropriate contractors through the Corps of Engineers. Because the funds were Army and not Corps funds, we managed that through them. And then working with the Department of State to make sure that the judges were trained in time to house this facility. And then on the ribbon cutting day, actually have police to work in it. So I would say that would, I think that meets what you may be looking for, this question. Working with several groups, working with a council-like organization that we called a board of directors. To meet one goal that satisfies a lot of our needs in that time.
Okay. What do you see as the role of city government in keeping the cost of government down while providing essential services to our citizens?
So again, not having the city administrative skills behind me, I see the role of the city manager as the one that takes your policies and goals and helps the staff execute them. So the role of city government in keeping the cost down is based on the objectives the council sets, meeting the goals of roads, the sewer water system, the fire, and the police departments being the core of the responsibilities to the citizens, that we don't overextend ourselves if we can help it, and then to keep in touch with our finances so we understand what money is available, and then either build our budgets or execute to those goals. My budgeting background is not revenue-based. It's generally the military. You're given, here's a set number of millions of dollars. Do not overspend and make sure you execute all your training within that budget. And then on the corporate side or the private sector side, it's somewhat revenue based, but it's from a corporate level. So we're given the opportunity to build our budget from zero and then have it approved through multiple layers. But then throughout the year, if the corporate's not doing well, we are given goals to trim our budgets and to operate within limited resources. So I see that the same, managing what we spend against what the revenues or the income is so that we can keep the essential services going, and then if we have additional funds, we can use those to further other goals the city may have. But again, it's at the direction of the council where you set our priorities, and I see it as a city manager's role to take that out and execute it with the staff.
Hey, please describe your experience with airport management issues in your previous work.
I have limited airport management experience. However, I do have experience working with airspace. And again, in Afghanistan, that same situation, we did have an airfield that was run by the military but was overseen by the FAA because we were trying to bring in commercial aircraft, Afghan commercial aircraft, into this area called the Host Bowl. So understanding when someone explains to me the requirements for an airfield that you have to have a certain area that's free of objects or FOD, that you can only have certain approaches, and then also having a system manage the airspace around it. I'm familiar with that. but not so much developing an economic base of an airfield, bringing in new business. That would definitely be a shortcoming that I would bring to the table. But managing the airfield to make sure it's safe, I think I have enough experience to know when to ask the right question and if something doesn't sound right, and then also to work with the agencies that are telling us whether we're in conformance or not, and then working with those agencies to shore up those gaps.
Okay, please describe how you would keep citizens well informed about governmental matters, and how would you make sure citizens' views and concerns are properly received and addressed?
That's a tricky subject. A citizen is only going to be informed as well as he wants to be, and I'm a prime example, unfortunately. Living on the outskirts or in the greater Palmer area, there was information out there. There was information available to me, very readily available, but I chose not to pursue or to receive that information. I imagine that's similar in Palmer. The web page is a great place to have information, but it can't be the sole source. I know we do mailings to the citizens, but short of knocking on everybody's door with a checklist to say, have you been informed, it's a trick. Again, citizens will only be as informed as they want to be, but to get out, I would hope the council would be the face that gets out to the people, more so than the city manager does. But as a city manager, I would expect to get out to at least also understand what the problems are, if there's potholes or if our staff isn't maintaining the roads as well as it should be. And also, in some cases, hearing from public organizations what the desires are of the city staff. But in keeping the citizen informed, I would try to do as much informational processing as the council would like. But then again, you can talk as much as you want, but if people aren't listening or don't want to hear it, it is a challenge, and I recognize that. Now, as far as receiving their information, again, it's being willing to listen. This forum is a great opportunity for citizens to come in and voice their concerns. But again, I'm guilty of it. If I had concerns, I didn't come to the city council, even though I was outside the city limits. But some folks are just not inclined to do that. So you have other places like the chamber, the Rotary, where you can probably try and gain some information from the citizens and then address them as they come up. If they're far-flung, you still need to address them so people understand that you are listening. You don't have to take action, but just to show that you're listening is a step in the right direction.
Hey, Mr. Wallace, Councilmember DeVries has a question for you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you,
Your Honor. Do you feel that you have an open door policy? So, like, you know, it's 9:30 Tuesday morning and you're in the midst of trying to do something and Sandra calls you and says, you know, I have a citizen out here that's concerned about, you know, their neighborhood, and how would you react to that situation? Do you take them on a moment's notice? Do you say, have them make an appointment and come back when I'm done with this project? Or give me a little bit of your personality there, please.
My first impression, not understanding how often that would happen, would be to address it at the moment. If I'm not engaged with another group of people or on teleconference, if I have the time, then I would invite that person in to hear their concerns. If that becomes so overwhelming, then I would try and have some type of schedule where there's time set aside for instances like that. So if somebody comes in, doesn't want to see me, then Sandra could say, okay, we have these times available, and not have to worry about checking with me for scheduling. It's just an open forum time. But not understanding how much that happens, my initial impression is I would invite them in if I'm not with another group.
Can I do follow? Maybe from the limited amount that you had interaction with the city. You know, the city of Palmer does a number of things, Colony Christmas, you know, Colony Days, you know, the Fair Parade, a lot of those things like that, that are joint ventures between the chamber and the city council and the city employees and things like that. And you mentioned, like, you know, attending chamber meetings and maybe Rotary or something like that. So is that in your management style to be very active in those things, or how would you view the position? without any instructions from City Council, well, how would you feel comfortable in interacting in those? Thank you.
If there was no direction from the council, I would pursue those opportunities initially just to understand what the issues are that I'm not aware of, or that I haven't been able to find on through research. And then if I'm attending too many, I would expect some guidance from the council that I'm either going too far, I'm stepping on your responsibilities, and I would back down. But if there's a gap, and I would expect to work together to, okay, we'll attend these, we expect you to attend those. But if there's no guidance, I would more than likely pursue it just to get a feel for what's going on. And then decide, okay, this isn't something that I'm this valuable to me. I'll choose not to do this anymore. But
Councilman Combs.
Thank you. You've mentioned that you've looked for information on the website. And since you've lived in the area, there's been a couple of expansions of communications with the community and outside the city limits through the radio, not only having our meetings broadcast, but having some radio shows done. There's been a newsletter done that I know that over 300 people, individuals either in organizations, business owners, city staff, council staff, or council, all received through the email, that sort of thing. Would you be supportive in continuing those types of communications?
Yes, I think anything that gets information out to the folks that are concerned is worth doing. Now, if there's we have to make a decision on whether it's financially feasible to maintain that based on the number of people that are responding, I think that would be a decision we'd have to make at some point. But if they are reaching 300 people and it's cost effective, I think it's very, very worth pursuing and continue to pursue.
Okay, can you please tell us about your experience in economic development and redevelopment? What project are you particularly proud of, or a project that you did not go well, and what did you learn from it?
So again, I'll reach back to my Afghanistan experience with the same organization I talked about earlier, Department of State, Agriculture, and the USAID. Over time, a lot of folks tried a lot of different things. And I'll two different examples. One is their water, the water source for the folks that live in the area we're in. And the other is their agricultural base. A lot of folks have the impression that military spent 75% of their time in the country fighting or dodging IEDs. Really, it was 75% of our time was working with the locals and the other federal agencies to build that country up, either through governance, improved governance, economic development, and then just helping them free themselves from the security concerns they had. While we were there, we tried to better organize what was going on. The USDA, when they first got there, was all about starting or restarting the agricultural base. And the area we're in, it was apples and pears, and then the silk trade. Afghanistan was on the silk route. But over time, they lost the skills to harvest the silk. A lot of their trees were devastated during that Soviet-Afghanistan conflict, and where some of our continued as we were there as a byproduct of some of the security issues we had. And the other piece was wells, where anytime a military unit would pull in, the first thing that the leaders of an area would say, we need water, so we would throw some money at digging a well without understanding the water tables. So by the time we got there, there was a study commissioned on the water table to make sure that we weren't devastating the water situation, and we were over time. So what we did for that portion was set aside larger funds to build dams rather than dig wells. And eventually folks, the Afghans, because they're so isolated, started to see the bigger picture of dams as opposed to individual wells. So that with the USDA, who did the watershed study, was something that we were pretty proud of when we left, that we were no longer digging individual wells. But the big piece that really opened my eyes to economic development was the USDA had all these apple trees and pear trees, and they had finally got the silk worm to produce silk again. But what they didn't do was have the foresight to build a transportation or distribution system. They didn't have the foresight, and I shouldn't say they didn't have the foresight. There just wasn't, at the time, it wasn't something they had the funding to do. Or storage. All these apples in this valley or bowl, they couldn't get the produce out to either Pakistan or the rest of Afghanistan. So because the military was always building roads, because we wanted paved roads so you could see an IED, so that's all we did was build roads and pave them. USAID would build roads and leave them unpaved. So we finally brought the group together as a means of this board of directors, and what we finally all understood, instead of competing with each other, we developed a cold storage facility in the host bowl so they could harvest their produce. Still had limited transportation, but now it didn't rot in their carts, and they could bring it to a co-op. So from our short time there, because the apples were already growing, the silkworm was there, the final piece was to help the women's group develop a sewing circle, so to speak, so that somebody could make rugs again and make the silk garments that were produced in Afghanistan years ago. So pretty proud of the fact that we brought this group of people together to flush out an opportunity for the people there to take what they harvest and actually sell it to a larger market through an improved distribution system and through a cold storage so they could maintain their goods for a longer period of time. And the last piece, what I learned from it, that it's very complicated and you can't do it by yourself. So.
Okay, Palmer and the surrounding area are becoming more densely populated and changing from a rural to a more suburban commercial environment. Sorry. From your knowledge of the greater Palmer area community, describe the most critical challenges and the opportunities for the city of Palmer.
That's a loaded question. The first thing that comes to mind is annex more ground into the city and grow your base. And that is not something that is going to be easily done, or maybe doesn't even need to be done. And having lived in the greater community as opposed to the city, I think there are challenges, and I think a lot of it's going to be communication, understanding the benefits of becoming part of, I don't want to say society, but what could potentially happen is the city of Palmer can be influenced by everything around us. If not so much if we're not careful, but if folks don't understand the impact of not becoming part of the whole, resources are dwindling in the state of Alaska. The oil boom is long gone. Prices are declining. There's BP is starting to back off their production. The military is, or DOD is already downsized J-Bear. So funding from the state level and from the federal level is going to become short. So we'll have to either generate new revenue sources or cut back on services. So that's going to be a challenge in the future. Hopefully not as big a challenge as some other places that don't plan as well as Palmer has. But I think that's going to be something that's hard to solve. But it's going to be a challenge. How do you manage growth for a community that prides itself on the planning that's gone on, thought out planning? It's not fast planning, but it's thought out. But the surrounding area is growing so fast. You have to not so much protect yourselves from the growth around you, but you have to understand what's going on around you and then communicate to those that are around you the benefits of becoming part of the opportunity for the city. And it's not just bringing more subdivisions in. We have to come up with some kind of revenue base, and subdivisions don't provide enough revenue to meet the challenges of more police or fire that come with having to protect those areas. So it's going to be a balance. I don't have the answer. I'm not familiar enough with the finances of them, but I've seen online. So I see the most critical challenge is how do you manage that? How do you manage growth and keep the identity that Palmer has? And it's, I don't have the answers, but it's going to be a challenge.
Okay, please describe your previous experience working with state and federal legislators to acquire funding for key municipal projects.
I just want to just make a little preface on this. We recognize that We talked about taking this one off, and we didn't end up taking it off, but understanding that you've not worked on getting municipal projects, but do you have any experience in, grant funding or pursuing monies or working with legislators and other elected or governmental officials for any types of lobbying issues, including but not limited to just funding?
From the military standpoint, we're not supposed to have a stance on how funds are spent or managed at the federal level, but it does go on. The prime example that comes to mind is with USARAC, or U.S. Army Alaska had what they called SUSVs, or small unit support vehicles, which are the tracked Hegeland vehicles. And it's a great vehicle for Alaska, but it's not supported by the Army. So as my position at one point in time in the organization was as the chief of training, we had to provide information to visiting legislators, both state and federal, to gain support for this vehicle outside the normal Army channels. So providing information to the leadership so that they could pursue those opportunities, influencing state and federal leaders to help us with our cause internally to the Army to gain support for this vehicle, basically funding for this vehicle. So from that standpoint, it's not directly gaining grants, but it's helping to influence those that are around us to provide support to our organization for specific needs. So my end of it was providing the information on why this vehicle was so good for U.S. Army Alaska, and also why it was good for the state, even the municipality of Anchorage, working with the mayor there to help gain support. Because anybody that can help you talk to other legislators or to other funding sources, the more you garner on your side when the vote does come to the forefront, or if your issue comes to the forefront, people understand it and know it, and hopefully will support it when the time comes. So not writing grants, but writing position papers. I've had experience doing that. And also working with visitors to help them understand our issues and help us with support later on.
Okay, you have devised a plan for a city project after many weeks of research and verification. This project could save the taxpayers a significant amount of money and could enhance the community. However, when you present your plan to the city council, it is voted down. You are certain in your mind the council is making a serious mistake. How would you handle this situation?
If the council votes it down, it's my position to support the council. If I truly believe in my heart that this is a mistake and it's going to cause the city to go under, then I would have to resign. I've never seen myself in a position like that. If the city council says no, it's no. If it comes up again later in the year or several years down the road, it's something that, hey, why don't you look at that again? Maybe the time is right for this new project. I would do that, but I've never had a project in my career that I would fall on my sword on, so I don't see that happening again. But again, if the council says no, it's not worth the time or put into it to try and reverse your decision. You're the leaders of this city. You would be my boss. When my boss tells me no, I move on to the next project.
Okay, this next question has four parts, so I'll ask them one at a time for you. Use brief examples to describe your experience in management of public lands.
I thought you were going to read them all and let me pick
nope.
and choose. I still have to address them all, but in my terms. So management of public lands, again, is the chief of training for United States Army Alaska, or is responsible for all the training lands that were held by U.S. Army Alaska, and also responsible for coordinating with the Bureau of Land Management when we went outside our bounds and used some of their lands. Within Fort Richardson, there are heritage sites, there are wildlife sites, there are ordnance sites where there's expended ammunition that we're not even allowed to go into because of the unknown of what it is. So making sure that we still have enough land to train our troops on so they can go into harm's way prepared, and balancing all of those things. I have experience doing that, working with the native groups that have the heritage sites, or whenever we do excavation, if we find something, then making sure we isolate that site so someone can pursue whether that's actual heritage site or just garbage from the landfill that's blown over. So from that standpoint, I understand, and also have worked with the NEPA requirements before we do any work. So understanding that you can't just go out and dig a road or pave a trail without meeting the different guidelines and the organizations that control that. So to a certain extent within the military, I have experience working with other organizations to manage public lands.
Okay, your experience in capital project management?
Most recently, before I left this week, we finished a capital project within my organization. I'm responsible for the utilities for producing steam for the Kellogg's Pringles plant. My team of 20 folks on a rotating basis, 5 men on a team. One of the pieces that we have to monitor, because we're using steam, is we have natural gas-fired boilers, and we're required by the state of Tennessee to monitor our nitrous oxygen discharge. So before I took over 18 months ago, it was proposed as a project. You may have read this already, so if you've already heard this, you can stop me. Before I took over, it was proposed as a project to replace this system as a capital project, but years ago it wasn't outdated. The software was having to be updated through the company that we provided our services, and the equipment was still available for parts, although it was not supported by the vendor, and we still were able to get third-party parts. A year ago, it came to the point where we could no longer find parts without having to go to eBay, which still floors me that we would buy parts from eBay for such a critical piece of equipment. But I outlined that to my supervisor, and then we took that to the plant management team, who then took it to the corporate team at Kellogg's to get it approved because it was outdated. The software was obsolete and parts weren't available. We were able to gain funding of $180,000 for a new continuous emissions monitoring system. Basically, it was a wholesale replacement of the system we had. So that was the easy part, getting the funding. We found a contractor that would meet the budget we had, and also still meet the state requirements for monitoring our emissions. They had a 6-month lead time to build the system and install it. This was started back in January of this year. They had some delays. The time crunch that we faced was our annual emissions testing is scheduled for September. So we had to have the project done before the 30th of September so that we can conduct our annual test, in order to meet state requirements. So through a series of events, working with the contractor that provided the hardware, working with the state to make sure that our permits didn't change and that what they were developing met the needs of this goal, otherwise we'd have to spend another $50,000 for a secondary test. That was our timeline. Budget-wise, we had $180,000 with a 10% contingency, and the goal within the plant is to never use that contingency because it requires a vice president level approval, so that was our objective for funding. Things went well up until about the 1st of August, when the contractor told us they couldn't have their software updated in time to meet our testing protocols. So as of last week, we managed to work with another vendor that was partnered with them to meet the deadline for software. We didn't need to go into our contingency fund. However, we did use some operating funds to support some of their software work. So we were still able to bring the project in our capital budget. And we're going to start testing on the 21st of this month, which is a week ahead of schedule, what we thought we were able to do. Depending on who you talk to, the project came in on budget capital-wise, but we spent another $7,000 in our operating funds for additional software work. So in my mind, we didn't meet our overall goals, but everyone in the plant is satisfied because we didn't have to ask a vice president for additional funding. So in that sense, it was a success. Provided our test next week goes off as scheduled. So.
Okay, your experience in budget preparation?
We touched on this a little bit when I talked, I forget which question it was, but the My experience is varied on budgeting. Early in my career, it was basically a training budget. Here's how many bullets you can fire this year. And that has that grew by the time I retired, where I was managing $30 million military budget for operations and maintenance. And then now I'm managing over $20 million budget for plant maintenance, not including our capital. So the budget preparation in the military side was at the levels I was in was, here's how much money you're going to get. Now figure out if you can meet your goals. Make sure you have enough bullets. Make sure that, which is a separate account, so you're given a number of 1 million bullets per year. And then you have to make sure that you have enough to do your training events. And if you're going to expend more bullets, you have to find another resource, which may be another unit that's not going to train as much, or a unit that's deployed that still has an account. And the dollars piece was, okay, here's the different training events. Here's how much they cost. Can I do them all within the budget that I've been given? And if it's not enough, then there's a negotiation process with your higher headquarters to either pull from a contingency fund or a set-aside fund. And then if you expend your funds, typically it will show up in your valuation report that you didn't meet goals that were set for you. On the side I am now, it's more budget preparation. I have to use historical data to develop my budget. And this is my second go-around. We're finalizing our budget for 2016. But it starts with our kilowatt usage for utilities. How many kilowatts have we used? What's the weather look like? What's it projected for production next year? How many hours are we going to operate? So that I can determine, working with what we call JEA, which is similar to MEA, this is the Jackson Energy Authority, what are their rate structures going to look like for the commercial or the industrial base, and then provide that number to our corporate headquarters for approval. For operations and maintenance, it's the same thing. We have an annual outage where we shut the entire plant down, except for my organization, when we do maintenance, and we work on all the projects that we have stored up over a year because we're not allowed to shut down because of production. So the different pieces that we're going to work on, how many bearings are we going to change, how many valves are we going to change, how many feet of water pipe are we going to place. So accounting for that's how much of that work we're going to do for next year. So it's not quite zero-based budgeting, but it's getting pretty close. Where we'll have to, the next couple of years, is provide a budget and then scenarios on if I'm cut 30%, 20%, or 10%, what work will I not do? So I think that more applies to how the budgeting process works here with the revenues, based on the revenues, and you always have to adjust based on what you're receiving. It works the same thing with Kellogg's, just on a grander, not so much a grander scale, but it's based on overall gross profit margins. They have a cash, their Kellogg's cash is what funds our operations and maintenance. And then they borrow money for capital projects for the most part. So our operations and maintenance is really based on sales. If Pringles don't sell, then we have to look at ways to either increase our margins or cut back on what we're doing. So for budget preparation, I think what I'm doing right now is more closely aligned to what goes on in the way the budget's developed here.
Okay, personnel management.
So from the military standpoint, I was never involved in hiring because that's all done by recruiting. So you get who you get. You can fire folks, but typically it's through a court martial, some kind of legal action. But if somebody's not performing, then you find a position where they can perform to their abilities, or you prepare paperwork so they can leave the service. As a civilian, I was in the federal government, I was responsible for hiring and firing the IT section, annual reviews, awards, and recognition from the time they're hired to the time they either retired or fired. So I did, in the federal government, work through that system. And then now, as a Kellogg's employee, as a manager, I'm involved in the interview process to help select people. My team, I'm responsible for their performance, their counseling, which we do semi-annually, and then an annual performance review, and then any awards and recognition. I budget for that. I have a budget for awards and recognition, and I also have the ability to put them into what we call a compatibility program. So if you're underperforming, you can go into the special monitoring program, and if you continue to underperform, then we can potentially let someone go, provide them retraining, and if it's a company violation, then they're fired or terminated on the spot. So I would have input into any of those things along that line.
Municipal Utilities.
I work closely now with the Jackson Energy Authority for providing our electricity, sewer and water, and natural gas, and then managing it. I manage how we distribute that and use it within our facility. So from a municipal standpoint, no, I've never managed a city's type, city utilities, but I understand how the process works, having worked with our provider, and then how internally we have to have a distribution system. So we do have a mini sewer system. We do have a mini water system. We also have our own, we don't generate electricity, but we have our own distribution system within the plant. So I know the city works, doesn't have generate power, but we work with MEA, so I'm familiar with the terms and concepts that are used in that industry. We do have, the city does have its own city water and sewage treatment facilities. So understanding the general concepts of how that work, I have that background.
There is one more.
Okay, our questions have been geared towards finding a city manager for the city of Palmer. Although we have tried to address the many aspects of the position, you may have experience, skills, or abilities that were not addressed in our interview questions. Is there anything about you that you feel is pertinent to this position that we have not asked and you would like to share with us, or do you have any questions for us?
I think the main thing from my standpoint is I knew coming into this, I didn't have the city administrator skills, per se, as a former city manager somewhere else, having been a public works director in another city, or having any city experience. That is a shortcoming. I would rely on the directors of the city staff to help coach and lead, show me the way, and I would also expect the city council to provide direction for me individually as a person to grow, and also the direction that you would expect the staff to take. So I am very open to coaching and to working with the council. One of the terms I heard somebody use for me was a subservient leader. In my mind, that's probably a good term. I take ownership for the folks that work for me, the folks that work with me, for their actions and responsibilities, and then also am not afraid to provide opportunities for them to grow. I would love to see the next city manager grow out of Palmer. I'd like to think that my hometown is Palmer. I understand some of the issues that are dealt with in this area, having lived in Alaska for 9 years in Palmer. Understanding Alaska and the differences that people have here when they come up to Alaska, it's not moving from California to Washington, which probably isn't a great change. But if you move from Nevada to Alaska, not only is environment different, but the culture is different. So I understand the culture of Alaska. I think I understand the culture of this microcosm called the Greater Palmer and Palmer area. So I bring that to the table, along with my leadership and management style and skills, to keep the staff organized and going in the right direction. And then also, I haven't been a commander. I've been a commander, but not at the higher levels. I've always been the chief of staff or the deputy commander, working for either a board of directors or a group such as yourselves to provide the direction, and then you having the confidence in somebody like me to execute your direction and not come up with my own. So if that's what you're looking for, I think I'm the candidate you're looking for. But if you're looking for somebody that's managed another city or is growing in the public service arena, I'm not your guy, and I'll tell you that up front. I do have those shortcomings, but I have no doubt that I would be able to manage the staff and work with this council. I have no doubt whatsoever that'd probably be the best guy you have.
Councilman? And I guess,
so I can ask you privately whether I can ask this question. I don't have the mic on.
Your Honor, by me.
She said I can ask the question.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's right. I thought Alice was going to ask. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Well, she can if she wants.
Go ahead, Councilmember.
Anyway, on your application, you gave us a salary. And then for the available start date, you said open September, October, pending relocation. And so say if we were to say to you, okay, as of this date, we would like, you know, we're going to hire you, then how much time do you have to give or you feel like you should give to your present employer and things like that? Can you give me sort of a timeline, please?
Understanding that the budget season here is at hand, so I would think you would want somebody pretty quick. It's the same thing for Kellogg's, and I do have some loyalty to them. The September-October was based, in my mind, on a faster process. I would like to give them 30 days, at least 30 days, to clear up projects that I have ongoing. They aren't going to have a replacement for me within 30 days. I'm at too high a level for them to bring somebody new in that quick. So I would ask at least 30 days.
Councilor Best.
Just to follow up with that, so that would be 30 days for them to be notified. Would that include relocation as well?
My wife would kill me if I said this, but I think I think that would be reasonable. Again, depending on how fast this would move, if you told me tomorrow, I think 30 days, the farther I get into the budget process with Kellogg's, that may extend it. But then again, it's in my mind, I would hope it's negotiable to some degree. But I understand that it's an important time for the city manager to be here as you develop your budget for next year. So I think it's something we could easily work through.
So was that 30 days or 30 to 45 days with relocation?
30 to 45, I can't imagine longer than that, but no, that could be shorter. If we finish up our budget process in Kellogg's, everything gets approved in the next week, then I don't feel as bad leaving so quickly.
Okay.
And that's really what drives my piece. I mean, that's, again, they invested in me, and I wouldn't want to. I could tell them 2 weeks. My official stance with them is 2 weeks notice and I could be out the door. I could also give them notice and they'll say, thank you for service. We don't want you here 2 weeks. But that typically doesn't happen unless you're going to work for a competitor. So for something like this, they would keep me on as long as they could. But again, I think it depends on when you tell me. If you tell me in November, we want you here tomorrow, I can get on a plane and come up here. If you tell me next week, then it might be a little longer.
Well, since we do only have one candidate, and while if we had more candidates, we'd have to make sure that we followed each, make sure each candidate was asked the same questions. I want to make sure that there's no other questions council members might have. And I also will go ahead and allow for anyone here at the table, including our attorney or clerk, if you had anything you would like to add or any questions, you're welcome to ask.
Okay, Mayor, when I take him out, am I supposed to leave him out there or am I supposed to excuse him for the rest of the night? I mean, is he coming back in shortly or am I excusing him for the remainder of the night?
What we'll do is we'll go ahead and go into an executive session immediately following this. I guess we might take a brief break and then I expect we could call him back because we might actually have some additional questions in the executive session as well.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So don't go too far is the point. Don't go to Valley Hotel and have a burger with him.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Did you want to take a brief break?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a brief break here and get the council chamber, or you can talk to them, I guess.
I don't know.